Amen. It's good to be back. I was on the road quite a bit here recently and glad to be back home in Antioch and glad to share this message with you. I'm going to be in Mark chapter number 4 and we'll turn over to another chapter of scripture here. And we're wrapping up this series going through fake Jesus. And we encounter another fake today. And this one is called the storm god fake Jesus. The storm god fake Jesus. And this is the last one that we will encounter in this series. And we'll be wrapping this whole series up over the next couple of messages with the help of the Lord. And then be turning our attention to another series called Rise of the One World Mind. And that new book will be available starting tomorrow, Lord willing. And I'm excited to see that come to fruition. Thank you for your prayers for that project. Just want it to be what God would have it to be. And grateful for that. So what is this storm god fake Jesus all about? You know, there can be a preoccupation in the Christian world with the storms that we face, with the difficulties that we come up against. In Mark chapter 4, we're going to see a literal storm, but not all of us will face this kind of literal storm, but we know that troubles and trials and tribulations come in all shapes and all sizes. James tells us that way, that diverse temptations in James chapter 1. That word diverse temptations, the diverse there, literally means multicolored. In other words, your trials, your problems are going to come in all different sizes and shapes and colors. Some will be darker than others. Some will be easier than others. Our Sunday school lesson parallels this perfectly. And I love how God knits these things together. But we were talking about how to have faith in Christ as we're going through these kinds of things. And that's the call for us here today as well. And we look to God with eyes of faith. If we have a small view of Jesus, if we have a small view of God, we'll find it hard to trust Him. We'll find it hard to put our faith and trust in Him when life throws us a curveball and we can't figure out how to handle it. We don't know where to turn or what to do. But if our view of Jesus is large and great and we understand how big, how marvelous, how magnificent He is, then we can weather that storm with the help of the Lord, relying on Him. But this storm god fake Jesus really treats Jesus more like an insurance agent, if you will. And I want to unpack that analogy. Insurance does play a key role in our lives. We take out insurance policies to protect our cars, to protect our houses, to protect valuables that some people may have. I'm not one of those some people, I don't think. But there's insurance there to assure us that we're going to be there to support you when the worst happens to your vehicles, to your house. And we're just a call, a text, or a click away. You know, they have all these slogans. You see these insurance commercials on TV all the time. And so if we're not careful, our view of who Jesus is can morph into this kind of storm god who stands ready to quiet the storms whenever we need Him. He's our divine insurance agent, if you will. He's expected to be just a prayer away. You know, we can get a hold of Him anytime, anywhere. God, I'm here in church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm active and I'm giving money in the offering plate. I'm active in serving You. I'm saying my prayers like a good Christian. And we look at that, if we're not careful, we can look at that as paying our dues to God, our insurance premium. You know, God, I'm making that payment every single week. I'm making that payment. Now I expect You to answer my questions and my problems every time I demand You to in the way that I feel like You ought to do it. And so what happens when we call on Him in prayer? It's like we're filing that divine insurance claim. But what happens when He doesn't respond how we expect Him to? And we pray again and again and again and we hope that He's going to jump in and fix the problem. When He doesn't do it to our satisfaction, what do? We file a complaint and we start complaining about God to other people. And we threaten, I'm going to take my business somewhere else, God, if You don't respond. You know, we're going to ruin His reputation. God, let me down. We post it all over social media. We tell others about it. God, let me down in the deepest problem that I had in my life. And many times people view God this way. We may not voice it, but really that can be in our hearts and that can be in our minds. And that's why we need to expose these fakes and then understand who the authentic really is. And that's the whole goal of this entire series is revealing these fakes for what they are and showing you who the authentic Jesus truly is. And I don't know about you, but I don't contact my insurance agent just to have a chat on the phone or to develop a relationship with my insurance agent. You know, if you know your insurance agent personally as a friend, you may do that. But most of us, I dare say, don't have a personal relationship with our insurance agent. They're very friendly, they're helpful, they're nice, and they'll respond and things like that when I need something. But I don't think about them until I need something. And many times we treat Jesus that way, don't we? When I need something, Jesus, you better be there to respond. But other times, you're on the back burner of my mind. I'm not thinking about you. And so if this is the essence of your relationship with Jesus, I think that you may have fallen for this storm god, fake Jesus. You're not alone. Jesus' own disciples, the 12, they fell for the same trap. And Jesus was patient with them, and Jesus is patient with us. Jesus shepherded them away from this false view to the authentic view, and He will do the same thing for you and for me. And we're on the Sea of Galilee here in Mark chapter number 4. Jesus and His disciples have had a very busy day of ministry. The crowd became so large that Jesus had to teach from a boat on the water. And the crowd was all along the shoreline. So when the evening came, Jesus tells us here in Mark chapter 4, in verse 35, at the end of the verse, "Let us pass over unto the other side." And Jesus has promised them. Here's a promise from Jesus: you're going to the other side. And when Jesus makes that promise, you can mark it down. You know, the study of Bible prophecy is really a study of the promises of God. And God always keeps His promises. He can make promises thousands of years in advance and always keep those to the exact minute detail. And yet here His disciples became fearful. And so Mark 4:37, let's pick up reading there. "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." And so this boat is about to capsize. The water is coming in, flooding in, flooding in, flooding in. And it's now full. "And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him and said unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" This is their view of Jesus. "Jesus, don't you care that we're going to die?" They assumed that Jesus sleeping was because He didn't care about them. But that's not what was going on here. That's not why Jesus was asleep here in this passage. It wasn't because He didn't care for them. It's because He's trying to show them an example. He's trying to help them to understand there is a way that you can rest in the arms of the Heavenly Father even in the midst of the darkest storm of your life. Even when you're going through the darkest tribulation, you can find rest in the arms of the Heavenly Father. That's what Jesus was showing them by His sleeping. But they misunderstood that. They mistook it. And how often do we do the same thing when we can't figure out what Jesus is doing in our life and in our world and in our story? We misunderstand what He's doing and how He's seeking to accomplish certain things. When we accuse Him as they did, "Don't you care, Jesus, that we're going to die? Don't you care that my life is falling apart? Don't you care that all these things are happening to me and in my life and in my family? Don't you care, Jesus?" Jesus didn't say anything to them here in verse 39. "But He arose," it says, "and He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." He took care of that problem instantaneously. He showed them His power over nature, that He has the authority, and that they could rest in Him. They could rest in the arms of the Father. And they could rest in this moment, and yet they chose to worry, and stress and anxiety filled them, fear filled their hearts. All these things I just mentioned, stress, worry, fear, anxiety, those are all responses that we give to problems. It's how we're responding to the trouble. You know, the trouble is going to come. The trouble, the trials, the tribulations, the storms are going to come. But how we respond to those things is our choice. How we respond to those things is something that we can choose. Jesus chose rest. The disciples chose worry and anxiety and fear and panic. And so he's trying to show them and shepherd them away from that view to see you can rest in the arms of the Father. He's not going to give you anything there that he cannot control, that he cannot oversee. You know, there's sometimes that phrase that goes around. Some people even think that it's in the Bible, that God will never give you more than you can handle. That is not in the Bible. That phrase is nowhere to be found in the pages of Scripture. Will God ever give you more than you can handle? By handle, I'm thinking about like these disciples in the boat. They couldn't get the water out of that boat fast enough. They couldn't bucket it out. And a lot of times in life, there are situations where we can't bucket the water out of our boat fast enough. It's more than we can handle in that sense of the word handle. But we don't have to handle these storms on our own. There's nothing that's ever too big that God cannot handle. And that's the whole point of this passage and the others that we see. Jesus is trying to get them to trust in God. Have great faith in a great God who's bigger than that storm. And he can empty the boat. And just speaking the word, peace be still, the wind ceased, there was a great calm. He took care of everything instantaneously. And so there are things that we cannot handle on our own. And sometimes God leads us into these kinds of storms. You know, the storms we think are always negative and always bad. But sometimes God allows us to go into them on purpose because he is trying to train us. Just as we talked about in our Sunday school lesson, the author of the lesson talked about taking road trips and learning how to drive and how that his experience in driving has helped him to be able to make it second nature. And then he's trying to teach his teenage daughter how to drive a car, and he has to think about, oh, this sign means this, this sign means that. This is how you need to speed up. This is how you need to slow down. This is how you need to watch for traffic. This is how you need to merge in and out of lanes. This is how you need to turn on your signal. For those of us who have been driving for many, many years, it's become second nature because we've learned how to do it. But to a first-time driver, they are overwhelmed. It's more than they can handle because they haven't been there before. And so sometimes Jesus is guiding us, is shepherding us, is taking us down those roads so that we'll develop more experience and more faith and rest in him as we face these storms. And so he tells them in verse number 40, he said unto them, first he spoke to the storm, and then he speaks to the disciples. He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So their fear is an absence of faith in this scenario. And could it be that the fear, the anxiety, the worry that we feel in a certain situation is because of a lack of faith? Now, I don't say all the time it's that way, but sometimes it certainly is, according to this passage of Scripture. And verse 41 is revealing, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So they went from fearing the storm to fearing Jesus and say, who is this guy? They were so amazed. They were so mind blown at what Jesus was doing. But Jesus is showing them, I'm in control of the storm. I have the authority to change these circumstances instantaneously. And so he calls them to trust in him. And so let's turn the page over now to chapter number 6. And I'm going to go towards the end of Mark chapter number 6. So we're on the same body of water. It's another night in between Mark 4 and Mark 6. Jesus is doing all kinds of miracles. He's healing the sick. He's casting out demons. He even raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. And Peter, James, and John are right there to see this firsthand. Again, he's growing their faith. He's showing them, I am the very God that I claim to be. He didn't just make the claims to be God. He backed them up through his fulfillment of prophecy, through the miracles that he performed, and ultimately through his resurrection from the dead. And he reveals that, yes, I am God. You can trust me every step of the way. But then, as we're back in Mark chapter 6, it's another long day. It's another dark night. It's the middle of the night. As the evening was come, verse 47 tells us, when the even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. So Jesus had just fed the 5,000, a great miracle. The crowds are dismissed and they're dispersing. Jesus tells them to go to the other side. And the disciples get in the boat. They're leaving. Jesus is standing there on the land alone. He wants to go to a mountain to pray, verse 46 tells us. Then verse 48, "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he comes to them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by." In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is in the boat. Here in Mark chapter 6, he's one step removed. I think of it like a parent who's helping their kid learn to ride the bike, and you take off the training wheels, and you're sort of right there walking behind the bicycle, and pretty soon you let your hand off and see if they can wobble and catch their balance as they're trying to learn how to ride that bicycle. And then before you know it, they're zooming all around. They don't need your help. But Jesus is doing that with his disciples. He does that with us as he's growing our faith and our dependency on him, as he's helping us to learn to trust him more and more and more in this life. And I love the phrase there, "and he saw them." Jesus didn't have his eyes off of them. They probably weren't aware that Jesus was watching them, but Jesus was watching them. And sometimes it feels in life like we're outside of God's view, and it feels like there's a distance between us and God. We don't feel that closeness. We don't feel that intimacy between us and God. But still, we understand that his eyes are always on us. There's never a time that you're outside of God's care. There's never a time that you're outside of his protection. We know that we are in the palm of his hand as his people, and he is protecting us. He is shepherding us. He is guiding us and watching over us every step of the way. And he saw them. He saw them struggling. And Jesus sent them into this storm, as I said a few minutes ago. Sometimes there are storms that Jesus sends you into. He knew that they were going to face this storm, and yet he sent them into it. You know, God doesn't promise to deliver us out of all the storms of life, but he does promise to help us make it safely through those storms that we go through. And we will make it safely through to the other side. And so we see that they were toiling and rowing. The wind was contrary unto them about the fourth watch of the night. So when they get in the boat, it's evening. It's probably as the sun is going down. You're talking something like 6, 7, 8, 9 p.m. This fourth watch of the night is somewhere around 3 to 6 a.m. So they're out there just toiling, fighting against the waves, making no progress. It's the middle of the night, in the dark part of the night. It's always darkest just before dawn, as they say. And here they are, walk, and he comes unto them. They don't call out to Jesus. They don't even know that he's watching them, but he comes walking on the water and would have passed them by, it says in verse 48, verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. They were scared to death that this is some kind of ghost, some kind of aberration. But he calls to them. In chapter 4, we see that he spoke to the storm first and then spoke to the disciples. Here we see a beautiful reversal. He speaks to the disciples first and then he speaks to the storm. He comforts their concerned hearts to let them know, "I am with you." They knew he was with them in the boat. They could actually see him. But then he reminds them first and foremost, "Before I quiet this storm, I want to remind you that I am with you." And many times God does that in our life. When we can't sense his presence, when we can't feel him close to us, he reminds us through his Holy Spirit that, "Yes, I am with you. I am right there beside you every step of the way." And verse 50 reminds us of that. "For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Again, he calls them to move away from their fear and to trust and rest in him. They've seen him do all kinds of miracles between Mark 4 and Mark 6. Their faith should be greater. Their faith should be stronger. He went up unto them into the ship, so he gets in the boat with them. The wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. It was just like mind-blowing to them. Look at this. Jesus did it again. They were just completely mind-blown by all of these things. "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." Isn't that an interesting commentary on them? They saw all these miracles. They saw God work and move in a mighty, mighty way. And yet their minds, their head was so dense, if you will,
that they didn't remember that Jesus had done these things. And before we point accusation at the disciples, we got to consider our own selves. How often are we forgetful of how God has been there for us in the past and how He's provided for us in the past and how He's shepherded us and how He's proved His presence to us and proved Himself over and over and over again in our lives? Then another storm comes up and, oh man, it's all falling apart. This is it. This is the big one. This is the storm of the century for our life. It's all going to unravel. God can't see us through this one. And it's like we forget all of His goodness, all of His provision, all of His blessing on our life. And so sometimes in life we allow sin to drive a wedge between us and God. And it creates this feeling of distance. You know, in those times we need to repent of that sin. We need to ask God to draw us closer to Himself. And we need to understand that He is there with us. And so Jesus is teaching them, He's training them, He's calling them to greater faith in Him. And He reminds them of His presence. So what is He doing? He's forcing them away from their fake storm god. And He's trying to get them to trust in Him, to rely upon Him, to say, look, it's me, it is I. You know, in the Gospel of John, it uses these phrases, the I am statements of Jesus. Pastor Brad has preached a series here a number of years ago on the I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And that's what Jesus is telling them here. I am. That's a reference back to Exodus chapter 3 when Moses is there before God at the burning bush. And Moses says, on what authority do I tell the people that I've come? And God says, tell them that I am has sent you. And Jesus is here saying, I am. Be not afraid. I am God. I'm right here with you. I'm right here before you. Keep your eyes on me. Now, Matthew adds a little bit more to this story than Mark does. It's in Matthew chapter 14. You don't have to turn there. I'll just paraphrase it for you for the sake of time. But in this, Peter asks Jesus, when they realize it's Jesus and he's calmed their fears and everything else, Peter says, Lord, can I come out to you walking on the water? And Jesus invites him to come. He gets out of the boat. He takes some steps on the water. And then he gets his eyes off of Jesus and starts looking on the storm. And what happens? He begins to sink, doesn't he? Jesus reaches out, grabs him, pulls him up out of the water, returns him safely to the boat. Again, Peter is taking these baby steps of faith. It's a good example for us to take that step, to step out of the boat, to step out of our comfort zone. Oftentimes, the life of faith will push us outside of our comfort zone. When you were a kid learning to ride that bicycle and you felt the hand of your parent come off the back seat, you were outside your comfort zone, weren't you? And when somebody's teaching you how to drive a car for the first time, I remember the first time as a 16-year-old, I've got my brand new driver's license. It's going to be the very first time that I'm in the car alone by myself driving for the first time. And some of you can probably remember the same scenario. And a lot of panic and fear can take over. You're thinking, I don't have anybody here to tell me what to do. I'm totally relying on myself behind the wheel of this car. And that fear can be there in us. Our faith is being stretched. Our experience is being stretched in those moments. And that's the life of faith, learning to trust God. And as I've often said, our faith is only as good as the object that we place it in. If I've got a sturdy chair up here and a rickety old chair, and I tell you, pick which one you want to sit down in, I'd say 100% of us would sit down in the sturdy chair that's going to hold us instead of the rickety chair, unless we just are looking for some kind of joke and we want to see it collapse and break into 1,000 pieces on the floor. And so we know that our faith is in a God who is greater than all. If we trust God to control the universe, if we trust God to keep the sun rising and the moon and planet Earth and the seasons and the weather and everything in this universe that He controls, if we can trust Him for that and not wake up worried and get up in the morning and say, I wonder if the sun's going to be up this morning. I'm so scared to death that it's going to be dark all day long and the sun won't come up anymore. And I've never heard anybody to have that kind of worry that was in their right mind. And we don't worry about those kinds of things because we know that God is keeping that. But yet when it comes to our personal lives, when it comes to our family, when it comes to things that are very emotional and very near and dear to us, we do get concerned. We do get worried that maybe this one's too big for God. Remember, there's no problem that's ever too big for God. He showed that by raising the dead even and healing the sick, casting out demons. So through His miracles, whether it's a spiritual problem, whether it's a problem with nature, whether it's a problem with death, nothing stood in the way of the power of Jesus, because He is God. He is the I Am, and He can be trusted. And so He is patient with us, and thank God that He is. He is constantly calling us to trust Him more, trust Him more. Their faith is being stretched, and as the training wheels are coming off, they eventually have to learn to ride on their own, but they do. And you read the book of Acts when Jesus isn't physically present with them anymore, and they're riding with great joy, if you will, going back to that analogy. They have great joy. They have great confidence in God. And as our faith grows, we can have peace. We can have joy. We can have confidence in Jesus, even in the midst of the fiercest storms that we interact with and that we come against. And, you know, we need to come away from that view of Jesus as some kind of divine insurance agent. You know, He calls us to have an authentic relationship with Him, to grow in Him, to walk by faith with Him every single day. And we can trust Him with our life. We can trust Him with our eternity. And if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, I urge you to do so today. That's the first step of faith that anyone can take, is to realize, yeah, I need to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And of course, sin is just anything that we have thought, said, or done that we know is unpleasing to God. And we ask Him to forgive us of our sins. And we believe that He died on the cross and that He rose again. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation isn't reserved for just a select few, but the offer is extended to whosoever. That's the very first step that Jesus calls us to take in this life of faith. And so if you're here or you're watching online, I urge you, take that first step of faith today. Jesus is calling you to come and to come to Him. He will be there with you to take that step and the next step and the next step and the next step. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He's going to be right there with us to guide us every step of the way. He's given us His Word to be that guide, that lamp to our feet, and reveals Himself to us through the pages of Scripture. So I urge you, take that first step today. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, I urge you as well, keep following Him by faith. Don't let the storms, the trials, the circumstances of life derail your faith or cause you to stop following Jesus through faith. You know, some people give up on God prematurely. Some people blame God for things that were the result of sin and the free will choices of other people who hurt them and who wronged them, and yet we turn the finger of blame onto God. And so we need to come back to Him. We need to repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in Him and in Him alone as we walk with Him in relationship. And we move away from the fake insurance view of God, that He's just out there to call upon Him whenever we get into trouble, and we forget about Him when times are good. No, He wants you to know Him intimately. He wants you to walk with Him every single day in a special way. So I pray that we'll move away from this fake and come towards the authentic Jesus. Let's bow our heads for a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for how we see You guiding and directing Your disciples day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. You were there to guide them, to develop their faith, to transform their lives through faith in You. And You're doing the same thing for people all across the world today. I pray first for those who have never taken that first step of faith to call upon You for the salvation of their souls. I pray that today there would be a great harvest of souls across this world as they call upon You for salvation, as they call upon Jesus to forgive their sins and to be their Savior. I pray that in this place, if anyone under the sound of our voice has not taken that first step, that today would be the day, that right now would be that time when they call upon Jesus. Lord, for those of us who know that, yes, we have called upon Jesus as Savior. Yes, we have taken that first step of faith. I pray that we wouldn't get derailed by this world, by the pressures, the storms, the trials, the tribulations that we endure. Lord, I pray that that wouldn't shipwreck our faith, but that we would allow it to refine, to define our faith, and that it would cause us to rest in you, as Jesus showed that pattern in the storm of resting in the arms of the Father when the wind and the waves are swirling all around. We can have rest. We can have peace, even in the midst of the darkest storms, when we realize how great you are and how good you are. And I pray that for anyone who is tossed in the storms of life right now, that they would find rest in Christ Jesus, that they would find rest from this storm in the loving arms of the Heavenly Father who is there to shepherd them along this journey. We praise you, God, for your unfailing love and your continual presence with us through whatever we may face in this life. May you get the glory and the praise and the honor for all that's accomplished through your word today. In Jesus' name.